One of the great things that I get to be a part of every single week is I get to, one of my little taglines is facilitate a space. In fact, in my Bible, I actually have what I call Matt Brown core values. And you can actually see them right here. And these are core values that I live by. This is what I have in my Bible. My time with the Lord over the years, or things that I've learned. Sometimes I might read a really good book and something really challenges me. Or I hear a great sermon or a great message and it just totally changes my life. And I have these core values and they have them in my Bible. And one of them in my Bible, it actually says facilitating a space. Which means that I hope and I pray that wherever I go, I get to have the opportunity to work with people that are able to create spaces for people to be able to encounter Jesus right now, in this moment. That I can create a space with other people to be able to help others open up their hearts to what Jesus is saying, to facilitate a space for Jesus to work. That's just how I've always thought about doing ministry. I always want to facilitate a space for the Holy Spirit to work. From Sunday morning, kids in the park, youth, fancy schmancy with our young adults, small group, wherever I find myself and the people I get to partner with week in and week out, I pray and I pray and I pray that we get to facilitate a space for Jesus to work, for people's hearts to be opened. And even this week, it was great. I mean, we had kids in the park on Wednesday, and we had a whole bunch of kids running around, screaming and playing and having a great time. And in order for us to receive these kinds of kids, we have to be able to facilitate a space where gospel air can be breathed, where kids can come and they can be accepted over and over and over again. And then on Friday, as kids are running around, screaming, and come from all kinds of different backgrounds, we're able to have a space where gospel air can be breathed, where these kids can come and be loved and be accepted for who they are in the moment. And so I'm going to read a verse, and then Pastor Carl and I are actually going to come up here, and we're going to just gonna share from our heart a little bit about how can we truly allow for gospel air to be really breathed? How can we truly facilitate a space as a church to allow people who come in, whenever they come in small group during the week, Sunday morning, kids in the park, youth, young adults, food bank, and anything else that we find ourselves being able to do. We hope and we hope and we hope and we pray and we pray and we pray that a space is being created for Jesus to be able to open up people's hearts and be able to move and touch them in such a way that they go, Jesus is my Lord. Jesus is my Lord. Because when people are able to be accepted, that's where gospel air is breathed. So I'm reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 14 chapter 5 verses 14 to 21. And this is what it said. For Christ's love compels us or challenges us or even controls us, because we are convinced that the one who died for all, therefore everyone died. And Jesus, he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. So therefore, if anyone's in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciles us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Or I would say, to facilitate the space. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not even counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us this message of reconciliation, or facilitating the space for Jesus to be made known in people. And we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Why? God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Every single one of you here this morning have the responsibility of facilitating a space for the people in your midst to encounter Jesus. And it's a wonderful, wonderful responsibility. And it's wonderful to be able to say that, therefore, anyone who is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here. There is no label for any person who comes into any of our gatherings. We accept them for who they are, and we love them, and we're able to help them to encounter the risen Jesus. And then it says here, so from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. And like we were saying before, the reason why we do communion is so that you and I can examine our hearts, because unhealthy hearts make it very difficult to facilitate a space for the Holy Spirit, not only to work in our own lives, but to work in the lives of others. And sometimes we become our biggest enemies in getting in the way for people to actually encounter Jesus. So Pastor Carl, why don't you come join me, and we're actually going to talk about the heart. Because a healthy heart is what allows us to create and facilitate a space for Jesus to be known. For you and I to be able to encounter and help people encounter Jesus, it requires a healthy heart to facilitate the space.
You sure we can do this?
We can do it.
Together?
I know that one pastor talks too much. And when you put two pastors together...
We only got 20 minutes.
Church, pray for us.
Anybody ever experienced this before? Two pastors at the same time? Wim? Good. I haven't. I'm about to. I'm really glad you mentioned healthy heart. Okay? Because as you know, by the way, we didn't practice this, okay? We had no practice time. As you know, we had a men's retreat.
Yep.
Right? And at the men's retreat, we actually talked about
a healthy heart.
Healthy heart, right? And we saw this movie. What was it called?
I can only imagine.
And it was about a father-son relationship. Mm. And a kind of a abusive relationship. At one point, the son called the father a monster. But also at the end, he said, if God can change a monster like my father, he can change anyone. Now, I don't know what relationship or what context you come out of, but who we are today kind of comes from the past, right?
Family of origin.
That's right. And how we deal with that family of origin plus the environment today,
yep,
makes us who we are.
Yeah,
right?
And we're talking about where gospel errors breathe or facilitating a space for Jesus to be made known. And like I was reading, God actually calls you, everyone here, to that message of being able to bring people together and to encounter Jesus. And of course, having an unhealthy heart, whether it's from your upbringing, whether it's from your relationships that you have, or you had some really bad history with different things, or a bad work environment, a bad home life, a bad breakup, or a bad whatever, it can totally, totally ruin your heart. And then of course, as there's a very famous saying that says, hurt people hurt people. Hurt people always hurt people. And because it's very difficult to be able to be a family of believers to facilitate a space for people if the heart is healthy. And there are a few different enemies of the heart. You know, Proverbs 4:23, it actually says, guard your heart above all else, because from it springs all of your life. Guard your heart above all else, because from it springs all of life. Now, Carl, you have a lot more experience at life than I do. I think you have a PhD in life. I just have like a high school certificate. I don't have much.
Pressure.
Can you tell that we love each other? But you are able to identify a few enemies of the heart that we have to be able to guard against. So do you mind sharing a few of those?
And this is what I shared at the retreat. You know, the enemies of my heart, the chances are my kids are going to have to fight with those enemies as well. Okay, men, women, in my age group, we do a lot of things for our heart physically, right? We do a lot of exercise, but it's still no guarantee that genetically or our children won't be affected by the same weakness of a physical heart. And it's true in the spiritual. If we can teach our children the value of a clean heart, of a good heart, we teach our children all kinds of things, right? Did you do your homework? Did you take your lunch to school? Did you, what else? You know, so many questions, right? And the questions that we think are most important, we're going to repeat often, right? Do your homework before television. Don't talk to your friends so much on whatever, okay, on the phone. So those are things that are important to us. What if we asked some questions, spiritual questions, so that the importance in their life is not the physical, this reality, but it becomes a spiritual reality. Anyway, I'm digressing, right?
It's because you're a pastor.
Yeah. That's so some of the enemies of the heart. I wrote them down here. Leading causes of heart disease, spiritual heart disease. Guilt is a heart disease. And I put it in this context, it means I owe you. A person who constantly thinks about I owe you something. Okay? I owe you something. Makes me feel guilty. Guilt. Guilty people keep their secrets hidden by building walls. And as parents, we can do that. Anger. Anger is one of those diseases. And anger says, you owe me. Right? You owe me something.
Yeah.
The angry person that kind of tends to say that. And this person overreacts to unmet expectations. They have expectations that never, got met, and they tend to fix the blame on individuals. They tend to fix the blame on individuals and leadership. Greed is another enemy of the heart. It's I owe me. I owe me, right? Me, myself, and I. Someone said at the retreat, the men's retreat, it's all about me. It's all about me. If I don't take care of myself, if I don't look out for me, no one else will. I need to get this. I owe me. People who are reluctant to share the credit or reluctant to share rewards of success. These kind of people cannot, be joyful if someone else succeeds. And number four is jealousy. Jealousy. Jealousy is a very, very tough one. You know, people measure success in terms of other people's failures.
Mm-hmm.
You know, other people failed, so therefore, oh, good, I can succeed, right? Yeah. Be successful, failure. And, you know, these enemies are real, and they're only four. Maybe there are a lot more enemies. Yeah, but I think it's important for us to deal with these enemies, and the importance is to pass this on to our children. For their heart is important. I think we need to teach our children the value of confession, forgiveness, generosity. You know, so when a child comes home from school, the question should be, you know, did you get homework and make sure you do your homework before you watch TV and all that? But somewhere in there, we need to ask the question, how do you feel about your day? How is your heart during the day? Did you meet someone who was mean and ugly to you? Can you forgive that person? What do you think? Let's talk to me about it. Talk to Daddy about it. About your feelings and your impressions about the teachers and fellow students. I think that opens the heart of the child to have a clean heart, you know? And not let the enemies build up in their hearts.
Yeah. And obviously, you're talking from like a parent perspective, in a sense, which I would not talk from that perspective at all.
I think somebody is trying to tell me something, right?
Is that your wife calling?
That's my phone. Yeah. That's my phone. My wife is on the way. My wife is on the way.
I love it.
Am I red enough yet? Yeah. I told you we need to practice this.
We did. I love it. But I know for me, like I would not be going from a parent perspective, right? So I'm thinking about one, I think more for myself, right? So yeah. More for the individual. And so when I take moments of communion or when I take time with the Lord, I always say, you know, Holy Spirit, would you please show me where I'm struggling in an area? I mean, I'm a real person. You're a real person. We're all real here. And we have our everyday struggles. And then we have these moments where these four things that we've been able to kind of just name and label, they will attack us over and over and over and over and over again, where there are moments where we might feel guilty about something and we try to build up these walls and stuff like that, where I might feel guilty about something and I put up walls and kind of push people away. And then what that will affect initially is the ministries that I get to be a part of. No, literally, like if I'm hurting inside, if I am being attacked by these things, I become extremely angry about something and then become very greedy, or I begin comparing myself to other people. It affects my ability, not only as a person or as a Christian, but as a leader. And it becomes extremely important for me that, especially in taking moments of communion or taking time with the Lord, whatever that might look like for me, depending on the kind of day, I have to ask the Holy Spirit, please reveal these things, because I want to facilitate a space for people all the time to be reconciled to you, to be able to know you. And if I'm going to be the person that could hurt people the most, that's not helping anyone. It's not honoring God. It's not honoring the people that I have the opportunity to be able to serve and to work alongside, all the different team members that I have. And then, of course, even my own family members. You know, it's unbelievably pervasive of these little things and what they can do. And so we've kind of like opened this big thing. We've got these enemies running around. And I think every single one of us here, we can go, yeah, I totally get that. There are these moments where I am angry, and there are these moments where I'm comparing myself to other people, and there are these moments where I feel really small inside, but I put on a very big persona because I'm jealous about about whatever, and I don't want people to know that I'm jealous. And of course, there are moments where we're super guilty, we have these walls, we push people away and have all these secrets. But the reality is, we're reading from the book of 2 Corinthians. And there's a wonderful, wonderful verse in there, verse 17. Therefore, those who are in Christ, the old is gone, the new has come. And then it ends by simply saying that God made him who had no sin, no brokenness, no disease of the heart, no ability to hurt another living human being because of the brokenness inside of him. And he actually took on the brokenness of Pastor Matt and Pastor Carl and every single person in this room so that we might become the righteousness of God and have the right standing that we so desperately need, not deserve, need to be able to be reconciled not only to God, but to each other. And that is the heart of communion. And so we have these enemies. And if I can just share a few remedies of the heart, because I mean, so often I remember going through school, and obviously when you go through elementary school, you're in the same school for 6 or 7 years, if you're there from kindergarten or preschool in the same school all the way to grade 6. You cannot remove who you are. And it was shared at Kids in the Park that it's so hard for a young child to remove the labels from the year before. There is no ability. And of course, that can just do so many things to the child. And then, of course, I remember going to high school and telling myself, it's going to be different. It's going to be different. I'm going to be able to remove all this. And the reality is that no matter where I found myself, these enemies were always there all the time until I finally able to, I met Jesus. It really did make all the difference, for me. And obviously, the first step for me was actually simple. It was very simple, just simply knowing what was attacking me and actually being able to put a name to it and not being able to struggle alone anymore and actually being able to invite the presence of Jesus Christ to say, now that I'm breathing gospel air, which is that last thing about he who knew no sin became sin so that you and I might become the righteousness of God, that I don't have to work so hard to remove these labels, that the old is gone, not on my own effort, but because of the power of Jesus Christ in me. And then because of that, I was able to finally put a label and a name to what was attacking my heart. And then because I was able to do that, I was actually able to breathe in the power and the truth of the gospel of God, the good news of God, which is simply, one, I get to know God. I get to know him the way he was meant to be known, which changes everything. But then the second thing that I get to do is I get to experience the cleanliness of every hold on my being. And I'd be able to just remove it by the power of Jesus Christ. And it was amazing. Amazing. It was amazing. But you have to know. You have to know. You have to be able to know what's attacking you. And then, of course, the second one, as a community of believers, we have to be able to confess it. And that's exactly what you said. You have to be able to confess it. You have to be able to have someone in your life that can only just challenge you, but that you trust so much to be able to share what's going on. Because if you don't, you're going to struggle all by yourself. And of course, you have to be able to say it to God first, but you do have to share it with someone.
And that's where groups can come in.
And that's exactly where small groups can come in. That if you can have a small group that's facilitated a space for people to be able to breathe and breathe out the message of Jesus Christ, that not only is there good trust between them, but hopefully that they're able to share what's really going on during the week and actually share. They don't have to hide anything anymore. And then of course the last one is once you're able to do this, you can actually experience the peace of God, the love of God in your life. And then all these enemies just kind of, they don't leave. They'll never leave. But their hold on every single one of us will diminish more and more and more, more and more and more. And then, of course, as you and I are able to go to God with these things and be liberated from these things. Now you and I can facilitate a space for other people to encounter God because we've experienced it for ourselves, you know?
And I mean, that's why it talks about being on guard, right?
Yeah.
Being on guard every single day. And if what we, back to the family, if what we want to teach our kids, if we don't model this, it's a losing battle, right? We can tell our kids and tell our kids and tell our kids, it goes here and out there. We need to model. We need to model confession, forgiving, generosity. We need to model this for our kids. Someone said, I read somewhere, the family environment is mirrored by the parents' leadership. Okay? The family environment is mirrored by the parents' leadership. How you parent. That's if you find your family is going harmoniously, it's going wonderful, then that is a mirror of how you're leading. If your family life is a little bit like we like to say dysfunctional or stressful or whatever, well, it's a mirror of the leadership. And as parents, we need to be very much aware of the enemies in our heart and handle that.
Yeah.
Like you said. Yeah.
And then I would just close with just, I guess, just two simple things. Number one, like you're saying, I mean for you and I, if we find someone that they're acting out in a certain way, where we said guilt, anger, greed, and jealousy, and sometimes we meet people during the week and they can feel off or unapproachable at times and stuff. It's so important for you and I that if we know that something's off, we can actually spend more time praying against the enemy of the heart rather than being upset with the person. You know, I read it this morning. For Christ's love compels us because we are convinced that one died for all and therefore all died, and he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves but for him who died for them and was raised again. It's wonderful. But so from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. And therefore, if anyone's in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here. And then it says, because God was reconciling everyone to himself, we therefore don't count people's sins against them. The healthy heart makes all the difference in being able to facilitate a space, not only for you and I to grow in a relationship with each other, but to be able to have a space where we can connect with God week in and week out in our small groups, Sunday morning, in all the ministries, the children that we get to take care of, the children who come running down the aisle, we get to high-five them if they're screaming and jumping in the pews. That doesn't upset us because we love them the way Christ loves them, and we don't count anything against them, but we simply want to just be with them and encourage them and not throw anything that we have inside to be thrown at other people in any way. But we want to know, we want to be able to confess what's happening, and then finally actually experience what God has for us week in and week out. As even when we take communion or we spend time with the Lord during the week, we can examine our heart to go, God, where am I struggling this week? And he's not going to judge. He's going to come alongside, and he's going to help us become the righteousness of God, because he doesn't even count our sins against us anymore for those who are in Christ. Therefore, the old is gone, the new is here. And in the same exact book, Paul says, wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. That's why we're able to laugh and cry on Sunday morning and be real. Because wherever the Spirit of Jesus resides, there is freedom. There is freedom to cry There is freedom to laugh and joke around and have a great time. And then there's a moment for us to even be with our Heavenly Father and say, not everything's okay. But I just need you to be with me right now and remove and heal my heart so that I can experience this newness that you promised me.
You know, I'd like to add one word to what you said, and that is intentionality, you know? Yeah. We need to be very intentional about it. We know all this, right? Most of us, we know all this. But implementing it and doing it and being intentional about it is a totally different ballgame.
Yeah.
So intentionality, I think, is very important in raising children spiritually, in raising ourselves spiritually. We need to be intentional about prayer. We need to be intentional about reading the Bible. We need to be intentional about forgiving and confessing. Otherwise, it just won't work.
Yeah. Okay?
That's not me.
I love it. Well, church, this morning you witnessed a miracle. It's before 12 o'clock. Jesus walks on water. Two pastors managed to speak in exactly 20 minutes on the dot. I love it. If you doubt the realness of God, I'm joking. I love to joke, in case you guys didn't know that. But we should definitely close in prayer and get on with the rest of our day and be with our families and then get on with a great rest of the week. So Pastor Carl, would you like to close us in prayer and send
would
us
you,
off?
Shall we stand together?
Yeah, let's stand.
Heavenly Father, you heard what went on here this morning. Lord, we hope and we pray, and it was our intention to be honoring to you. We want to honor you in everything we say and do. And Lord, the words that were spoken, we can only hope that your Holy Spirit will find a receptive heart and a receptive mind. I want to pray especially for parents, Lord, that we not just take care of our own heart and our own relationship with you, but that we can teach our children to have a meaningful and honest relationship with you. Lord, I thank you for your Spirit here this morning, and may your peace just guide us throughout this week, that we can live a genuine life in relationship with you, and that we can honestly help our family towards you and be a light in the community that you have placed us. And Father, we pray in the name of Jesus, and everyone said, Amen. Amen.